You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to WOLB 1010 AM Talk Radio, featuring Team Radio Baltimore. This is Carol Mauletta, your host of Parenting 411, where we share information parents need from sources they can trust. I have been looking forward to my time with you today because I have lots to share with you. First, you know I have been talking about my upcoming book, Mother's Work, Pearls of Wisdom and Gems from My Journey. The Mother's Work is an account of how I became the mom to my amazing twin boys, now young adults, and the lessons I learned from experience as well as the special people that I encountered along the way. My target launch date is May 18th. Of course, it will be a virtual launch, and I will give you all of the details because I want you all to join me. To stay up on the latest developments, connect with me at www.carolmauletta.com/VIP, because that's who all of you are to me. Today's guest is Zakira Muhammad, a dynamic, multi-passionate entrepreneur and founder of Focused Media Group. Zakira is a childhood cancer survivor who overcame adversity and charted her course to build a powerful media platform that includes photography, digital content, and podcasting. She will share her improbable journey that was shaped by the intuition of her mother and her own tenacity, as told in her memoir, co-written with her mother, Seeing Life Through a Different Lens, Overcoming Adversity with Resilience. She also hosts the podcast called See Life Different. Welcome, Zakira.
Thank you so much for having me, Carol.
Yes, yes. So how's the weather where you are right now? We have had a nice 2 days here in the DMV. How about you?
Atlanta, Georgia is warming up, and people are out and about and having a good old time.
Well, that's been us for the last few days, but I believe we're going to have a little cooling off before we can really get out there the way you all probably are down in Atlanta. So let's get started with where you are today. So tell us what you do at Focus Media.
So Focus Media Group is actually Focus with a PH because it is a play on the word photography, because photography has played such a huge role in not only saving my life, but ironically, it's the purpose, it's my passion, it's what I do to help serve others. And so that launched officially in 2018 after 10 years of, one, being a professional photographer and studying photography, and two, learning how to market, not only for my own services, but to help other creators. And so Focus Media Group came as a way also to kind of bridge that gap between, you know, minority women not being seen or feeling heard or being able to, you know, be paid in the way that they should for their expertise, especially in STEM, the science, technology, engineering, mathematics industry. And so it's basically a creative marketing agency, and it's all in one. We still do photography, we still do marketing, and of course now we're bringing in other creative mediums, which can be podcasting, which can be filming. So it's a great way to still be creative and still serve other people.
Wow. And, you know, you just do so much. I mean, and it's fascinating that you just started in 2018. You know, that's just so hard to believe because you do so much, and you're just so talented, my goodness. So it's just really been a pleasure. And for our listeners, I just wanted to let you know that Zakira hosts a nonfiction book panel as well, and that's how I met her. I was able to go on and talk about my experience as a co-author of Courageous Enough to Launch. And so we've been connected ever since. And so it really has been my pleasure because I just admire all that you're doing within Focus Media Group.
Thank you. So, thank you so much.
Yes. So now, why don't we talk about that life-changing photograph? You mentioned how photography really saved your life. So let's tell our listeners about that.
Yes. So I am a cancer survivor of a rare childhood eye cancer called retinoblastoma. And it's detectable through a white glow that shows up typically in photographs. Sometimes you can see it through natural light. So instead of the red glow that you would see if it's like a red eye in photographs, it's actually a white glow. So I was 6 months old when my mother took a photograph of me, you know, just every day photographing her newborn baby. But it was also not the first time she saw something going on with my eye. And so the picture itself is me 6 months old with, you know, very curly black hair swinging in a swing chair. And so, of course, I'm laughing and smiling because, you know, she's pushing me and I'm moving. I'm having a good old time. But in that same behind that smile, she looked closely at my eye, and in my right eye, there was this white glow. And so this was the days of where you had to print the photograph at the convenience store. So you wait a week before the film develops. And so it took a little while, but she was able to get that photo printed. And it was just that one photograph that she really held on to, even made copies of, because she wanted to take it to her coworkers. She took it to our initial pediatrician when it was time for my six-month follow-up, because she knew something wasn't right. She knew that this wasn't normal. She knew that this wasn't just an error from, you know, printing a photograph, because it was rare, you know, that prints were really well done back then. So she followed her intuition and, you know, just held on to that photograph. And even when she took me and the photograph to the pediatrician for my checkup, the pediatrician then told her, you know, don't worry about it. This is nothing important. You're just a new worried mom. And my mom is not a new worried mom. I have three older siblings from both my mom and my dad's previous marriages. So she stuck with her intuition and asked for a referral to a specialist. And it was that specialist that then confirmed, yes, this is something very serious. Your daughter had retinoblastoma, and we need to schedule her for surgery right away, because if we do not, this tumor could spread to the brain and eventually cause death. So thank goodness for all the angels that aligned at that time, you know, to make it happen, make the surgery happen within 3 months time frame. And here I am today, 20 plus years later.
Wow. And yes, and so many angels involved here, and starting with your most dedicated angel, your mother. I mean, just not being put off. I mean, she knew what she knew, that she knew that there was something going on with you, and she just would not be deterred. So bravo to her, first of all, for her determination. And then for those who, you know, ultimately listened to her and really swung into action to care for you and, you know, save your life and put you on a course for healing, for treatment and healing. So that's amazing. Now, I'm wondering, when your parents, when they think about those early days, like, what did they share with you about what they were thinking and feeling like right after, you know, discovering that? And, you know, were they worried? What was that like for them during those early years, you know, figuring this out?
So thankfully, growing up, my mom was always pretty transparent with me, especially about feelings, especially about, you know, adult conversations. So for the most part, I had an idea of what it was like, because I really don't remember it. I think maybe you can label it as PTSD, but I do not remember anything from that time era. But good thing also, by the time my mom and I were coming together to edit and write our book, Seeing Life Through a Different Lens, that's actually when a lot of it really came out, because of course she had to relive some moments and she had to kind of re-heal from some moments. And so she talked about all of it. It was almost like a journal entry that was being raised. So she actually did have a journal throughout my entire life. She let me read some of those journal entries. So I got to see exactly how she was feeling, that even though she just kept going. She believed in the power of prayer. She believed in listening, you know, trusting my dad's intuition. When there were some days where she just couldn't go on, you know, she just felt, you know, didn't feel as strong. And my dad would just take over and be, you know, the strength. And so, of course, it was never easy, but I think they were very transparent and vulnerable throughout the entire process when it came to just kind of focusing on that this cancer is bigger than all of us. And her real purpose really was to just kind of be that advocate, not just for me, but also for the other very few children at that time that actually did have the same cancer that I had. So I think it was just really just, you know, like any other parent would, just imagining all of a sudden your baby was fine, you know, from birth to 3 months, and then all of a sudden life is changing. So just a lot went on, but I think, you know, that she definitely attached to community and the power of prayer and journaling.
Absolutely. And, you know, also what was striking to me in the book, and I would wonder if you would share that, was that, you know, aside from getting the treatments and doing the research, just learning as much as they could about the cancer and about the treatments and finding the best specialist, they still found a way to really just have you be a child and, you know, have fun and all of that. Talk about some of the things that they did with you and allowed you to do that really allowed you to have a full experience as a child, albeit as a child that had this particular challenge to deal with.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I had a pretty great childhood. Of course, now that I think back, and even when I see the childhood of my own nieces and nephews who are glued to devices, I'm like, I had a really good childhood. We were always traveling. We lived in Florida, so we were always going to the beach. We would always, you know, I love smoothies. I think my mom discovered that after the initial radiation cycle, that I was not really eating. So smoothies and milkshakes became a go-to. And so even if it was just a good day, we'd go to the beach and have a smoothie. I definitely was always around other children. So I was very fond of field trips and just seeing new places, meeting new people. And so I was pretty active as well. I was pretty athletic. I was in the swimming classes. I loved running. So any sports involving my legs, and just having fun, movies, music, dancing. So anything that you can think of as far as what is considered fun, what is considered a way to stay active, I pretty much did it. And I'm definitely grateful for all of the experiences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we do. Okay. I think we have a caller. Sure, absolutely. We'd love to hear what's on your mind. Thank you for calling in.
This is Kaida Mohammed. I have a
Familiar mother. Yes.
I think I know that young woman.
Oh, I know you do because I recognize your name. Thank you so much for calling in. You have a beautiful daughter who is a ray of light, which I don't have to tell you, I know.
Her dad is here with me. We're in East Tennessee. And we just wanted to congratulate both of you for doing such a fine job.
We do whatever
we can to help the next generation get through the parenting cycle. It never ends. The quote is from the cradle to the grave.
Right. I wonder, did you hear the last question that I was asking her, and I didn't know if you or your husband wanted to weigh in, where I was just asking her, you know, what you were thinking and feeling as you were going through the motions of finding the right solutions for her, and then also trying to make sure that, you know, she had a childhood that she could enjoy and do as much as she could do and not focus on the cancer all the time, but also allow her to enjoy herself as a child. Is there anything that you wanted to add to the discussion?
The only thing that I can add is that every day that we survive, all of us, is by the grace and mercy of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up, you pray, and you receive your inspiration, and you go from there. And you trust that what you're doing is the best that you can do, and you take the advice of the elders and all of the people that you trust to give you all the help that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And a funny story is that sometimes we forget as parents that, you know, we were once children. And we remember certain things that made us feel good, that made us happy, things that we like to do. And you have to always remember to ask your child what they want, where they want to go, what they want to see, what they want to do. It's not about just the parents. It's about the child. It's about the medical community. It's about other parents and their children, the school system, in some cases, the courts. So your community just keeps expanding from day one.
Yes, I can certainly imagine that, and I certainly experienced that. I have twin sons of my own who are juniors in college, and so I'm absolutely grateful for the experiences we had and people that came into my life that I know that God sent into my life to help us on our journey. One of our sons had developmental delays, and so just during that that process of finding the resources that he needed, I was definitely blessed with people who intersected with our paths and were really a blessing to us. So,
you know, I have a close friend, and she's never had children of her own, but she's a universal mother. She's always worked with children with disabilities,
mm-hmm.
and she just... I call her the Energizer Rabbit. She just goes wherever she needs to go, and she puts herself in a position to give to the child whatever the child needs and to more or less just be there as a support for the moms and the dads. And Zakira knows her like another mother. You know, I'm speaking of Emily. And we met her through the school system. So, you know, you just go where you have to go, and the help will come to you.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I remember you mentioning Emily in the book, and I want to make sure that our listeners visit Zakira's website, www.focusedmediagroup.com, and that's P-H-O-C-U-S-E-D. mediagroup.com to learn about her journey and also to be able to get her book as well. So let's see.
We won't take up much of your time. We just wanted to call in and give our support.
Well, thank you. And keep. I hope you can keep listening.
Yes, we will.
Okay. So Zakira now, tell us what it was like once you were old enough and you sort of had awareness that your experience was a little different from maybe your siblings or your friends around you. And how was that for you? And how do you think you coped with that?
Yeah, so I think reiterating back to, because I had such an amazing childhood, I really did not know that I was different until I did go to school. of course, you know, at one point, that's when all the kids, this is probably starting at like third grade, all the children are very curious. They're coming into themselves as well, and they ask a lot of questions, or they, you know, make fun of things that they don't know. And so I didn't really know that I was different until probably about age seven. And I think age seven was actually the first time that I really asked my mom, I'm like, was I born this way? Why am I like this? And that's when my mom actually showed me the photograph, the life-changing photograph for the very first time. So, of course, coping meant, you know, also learning the backstory as well of what my parents went through and what's really going on and how it can affect me in the long run. And then, of course, once I had that general understanding of where I came from, it definitely gave me a sense of grounding for where I'm going in the future. So I was very independent even then. I was very strong opinionated even then. So I wasn't always the type to let people affect me. But there was a point where sometimes, you know, it could feel like a bit too much. But I always thank goodness for, you know, my parents, thank goodness for prayer, and even thank goodness for music and writing.
Now, back then, who was particularly helpful and encouraging to you? Like, I mean, it goes without saying your parents were just phenomenal on this journey. But, you know, outside of your parents, who was, like, particularly helpful and encouraging to you when you needed it back then?
I think I definitely want to mention Emily again, because of Emily, I was able to be connected to you know, speech therapists and be connected to other programs where I could interact with other children who had visual impairments or hearing impairments. And I had an amazing speech therapist who just understood me. So even if we weren't learning, you know, how I can obviously speak a little better, when we weren't doing that, we could just bond over music, just bond over whatever was going on with me at school. So that was amazing. But I do also have two amazing best friends that I have known since I was 3 years old, and we're still friends to this day. So hanging out with them is always a ball of fun as well.
That's wonderful. And so you still hang out with them today? And
yeah, we still hang out today, and it's so funny that we have lived in different states for a majority of our friendship, but for a while, two out of the three of us both lived in Florida, and now all three of us do actually live in Georgia again. So, of course, you know, once things open up a bit more from the pandemic, I'm sure we'll have more in-person gatherings, but we are still in touch, you know, virtually, and you know, it's just amazing to have a 20-plus year friendship.
No, I couldn't agree more. I have some friends like that as well, two friends from childhood, too. Now, how do you think your experience as a cancer survivor has shaped your approach to life and also maybe to business?
I'm so glad you asked that, because I think you know about this summit that I had. It's called the See Life Different Summit. And it really was, that was the theme of it. Like, how can you as women, because this is, you know, Women's History Month, March is Women's History Month, and how can we as women really see life more differently? And so just being a cancer survivor, just being around, even for a short amount of time, around others who have a short life after, you know, also being a cancer survivor of retinoblastoma, it just kind of gives you a greater sense of gratitude, a greater sense of understanding how short life is. So for me, I see life more positively. I live life, strive to live life, you know, without fear, but with lots of faith. And so being a cancer survivor really shaped my businesses also, to be able to not only just have that theme of the book, Seeing Life Through a Different Lens, and then having the name of the podcast for See Life Different, which is just kind of a shortened version of it, but it's still the same thing of how can you take, you know, the lemons that were given to you from any source of trauma in life and literally make it the sweetest, the best lemonade ever.
I like that. I like that. Now, what do you think, so in terms of your unique visual outlook, in particular, how do you think that that complements your work as a photographer, or just maybe even just in the way you help, you work with clients in other aspects of your media group?
So I'm kind of glad you asked that, because one day when I was living in Washington, D.C., that's where I continued my photography education. And I was with one of my uncle's relatives through marriage. And so we were both photographers. So we kind of went out in, you know, just kind of did street photography one day. And so he knew my cancer story, but didn't know my cancer story. So it was the first time really having a sit down lunch and talking about it. And so at the end of sharing, you know, my story, he said something about, so you realize you basically already have the photographer's eye. Because if you think about it, the older cameras before smartphone photography, you had to wink, you know, wink one eye just to look into, you know, the finder, the view, to take a photograph. And so that really stuck with me, even though that was more, you know, almost 10 years ago when he said that, that really stuck with me of I uniquely have this vision for seeing things. Even when I started to travel out of country, I would just be able to capture what was going on around me. And most people would say they felt like they were with me on that trip because of the way that I capture. And so just having that creativity has been, you know, an amazing blessing as far as also ways to capture, you know, people. Because, of course, photographs do capture sides of people that most people don't see in themselves. So a lot of times that ends up bringing out a new level of confidence when I have studio portraits, for example, when I do branding sessions. And so photography has always been that starting point, no matter where I go creatively, because I'm just able to see things literally in a different lens.
And so that was something I was going to ask you too about the type of work you do. So is it events, or tell us a little bit about the type of photography that you do?
So because of the blessing of being able to study photography, I have literally dibbled and dabbled in everything. But the older I get and the more I kind of niche down, it is definitely portrait sessions, whether that's lifestyle of you and your family, whether that is just you because you're starting a business and you need more content for social media, or it is events, the one time that you get to capture and bring people together for birthdays, for even elopements. I think I really enjoy elopements better than weddings because it's more, we know that it's more intimate. You know, it's a lot more intimate. And, you know, weddings I've observed, more people are just want the fashion statement of the wedding. And I'm more of those. I'm a whole advocate for you know, the marriage more than the wedding. So I love elopements more, but any type of photography where I can capture the essence of humanity.
Wow. Well, that's good. I would love to see you in action. Are you doing much now during the pandemic?
Yeah. So it's been interesting. I've had one photo session in the pandemic that was really interesting. Of course, you know, you wear a mask, you keep your distance. But the good thing is that us photographers, we have different millimeters of lenses. So now we kind of use the longer lenses so that we're not necessarily up close and personal. But interesting enough, also since the pandemic, so many people have been DIYing, so doing it themselves, learning how to use their fancy camera that they've had in the box that they got as a gift for the holidays and never really used it. So something else that I have also been wearing a hat for is teaching photography, teaching others how to literally master their device, understand lighting, whether it is the natural light such as sunlight or the artificial lighting such as studio lighting. I've also been teaching other photographers of how to become better photographers as well.
Wow. Okay. Well, you are multi-passionate, multifaceted in your entrepreneurship for sure. So now, based on your experience in your family, what are three key gems you think you could share for parents that are looking to help their children push past obstacles and make it through to their full potential?
I think definitely reiterating what my mom said too when she came on briefly, making sure that they're doing what they want to do as well, because I think that potential gets pushed to the side if I feel that, and I've observed also, if some parents are trying to live through their children. If you're so focused on, as a parent, trying to do everything that you didn't do as a child and you kind of put that on your child, sometimes it can, you know, cause a little friction. So definitely encourage their children to explore their potential. What is it that they really want to do? I think the ages of 7, the lucky number 7 really are the age where they really do come into themselves. And if you pay close enough attention, they know exactly what it is they want to do. Positive words of affirmation, of encouragement were definitely very helpful for me, even when I was facing my own obstacles, whether, you know, it was course assignments that were too tough or children being too tough on me or whatever was going on with me medically, just having words of encouragement. At least for me, words of encouragement and physical touch, those were my, you know, love languages. So those are the ones that definitely helped to keep me going. And I think the last tip would be to, I think this community, that if they have friends that they do want to hang out with and a community of people that they just enjoy being with, that, you know, let that, you know, happen, of course, safely, now that we're in 2021. But allowing children to meet other people is very important as well to help them to realize their full potential, because you never know. Some of them just may be the right angels that need to push them in the right direction of where they, their own purpose and their passion resides.
Now, you mentioning that part about being positive influences, your friends can be positive influences for you. I know sometimes, particularly when the teen years hit, parents are often on the lookout for, you know, looking at those who can have a bad influence, that they you know, they seem more focused on that. And so, you know, so that can make the teen years a particularly tricky and tense time between parents and children. And I had to chuckle. Why don't you share the books that you recommended? Because your mother mentioned this in her portion of the book, and you mentioned it in yours as well, about two books that you recommended your parents read to help you, help them understand you when you were a teenager.
Yes, so it's actually a very simple title, Teenage as a Second Language, like literally. Teenage as a Second Language is the name of the book that both my mom and I read when I became that teenager, you know, wanted to have her own way. And so the book is really great. It has a simple language in it as well that really breaks down what is going on, you know, medically and scientifically with teenagers, but also how to, you know, transfer that onto a language that both can understand. So it's kind of the same way that you, most parents would read baby books to really understand what's going on with their baby when they hit certain ages. The same thing continues with teenagers. And so Teenage as a Second Language was a really great book for both the teenager perspective on how to communicate to your parents on what's going on, and the other way around, of how the parents can listen and understand what's going on.
And so did you all read it together? Is that how it went in your house?
I'm trying to remember exactly. I have a feeling that it was some kind of like assignment maybe, and it came up through school. And then, but of course, growing up, it was fun to read with my mom because we could bounce off ideas. So we probably did eventually read together. But I do remember kind of sneaking off some night just reading ahead. But it was, yeah, I think it was probably one of those books that came as a suggestion and just, you know, was a really great suggestion.
Yeah, like I said, I really got a kick out of that because you both mentioned it in your parts of the book. And also for our listeners, just to understand, I'm not sure if we made it clear, but Zakira's mother had kept a journal. And so she includes, like, in each chapter, the chapter starts off with her mother's account of that particular topic that the chapter is dealing with. And so, you know, she recounts different events or instances and experiences with Zakira, and then, you know, Zakira, then you hear her voice. And so it really makes it a lovely book to read. It's just so nice to hear to hear both of the perspectives, and often on the same event too. So I really, really do encourage you all to pick this book up. And now I also want to ask you a bit about, I wanted to talk a bit about what your mother did, because I think that, you know, you were very much aware of this this effort where she was helping to, she was helping to pass a Florida legislative bill requiring pediatricians to provide eye exams. Like she kind of got in touch with someone that was involved with that. Do you remember that?
Yes. So I believe you referred to the part in the book where we mentioned the Joey Bergsma Foundation, which was founded by Joey Bergsma's grandmother, Pam Bergsma. This was another one of the amazing things of the power of community. My mom had been, you know, being in touch with other retinoblastoma moms and found out about it. And so she lived in Florida and she was working on that initiative to pass it within first in the state and then, of course, nationally to pass that pediatricians require eye examinations. Because both Joey Bergsma, Mayor Soul, rest in peace, and myself had similar situations where, you know, the pediatricians are just not checking, you know, they're brushing it off. And so Joey unfortunately passed away as a child, but his grandmother kind of kept his legacy alive by, you know, fighting for this, fighting for making sure that pediatricians get eye checks. And so there was a chance where my mom and I got to meet Pam, because she got to come up to where we were living in Central Florida at that time. And she had a connection with news programs as well. She was doing news segments on it to, you know, raise awareness. And so I guess for me, that was my 15 seconds of fame. I got to say, make sure you get your eyes checked. So it was just a great, it was a great initiative, and definitely want to give a shout out to Pam Bergsma for continuing to fight for not just retinoblastoma, even all eye cancers now, and thank goodness also for technology where most of the cancers can now be detected in the womb, and so we can know ahead of time what most parents, you know, can know ahead of time what's to come when it comes to the cancer. Because even for me, when that time does come for me to have children, I know that there's a 50-50 chance that my children will inherit the gene, because it's actually, once you have gotten the cancer, sometimes it's hereditary, sometimes it's not, but once you have the cancer, it can be hereditary and be passed on to your children. So that was an amazing foundation.
And I like that, you know, you were able to, you know, be a part of it and get to, you know, see that unfolding and to be, like you said, have your 15 minutes of fame. So another thing that I noticed, I mean, you know, kind of going back maybe through the teen years, was that you would describe how you wanted to do things. And your mother always had like an interesting alternative instead of you being able to do it. And like, I think, you know, at one point, as far as being in the newspaper, I mean, initially working on the newspaper, and then but it always led to something, like her idea always led to something that took you in a great direction and you learned something new from it. Do you recall that?
That's an interesting perspective. I'm glad you brought it up that way. I think the way that I've always seen it is, you know, both of my parents were always in pursuit of whatever dreams I wanted to achieve, go for it, give it a try. Right? There's no such thing as failure. You did your best. You gave it a try. So, but ironically, yeah, because I guess because I've kept the faith, and also because I'm so, I guess I could say self-aware, that when there is something that I want to do, I will put my mind to do it and I will do it. It's just, you know, by the grace of God that it always worked out in some direction, you know, even if there were some kind of losses along the way, even if there were some kind of failures along the way, it works out in some direction. I think it's just maybe just the power of intuition as well.
Yeah, because I was thinking about her, you know, you wanted to work at the grocery store because I think you had friends that worked there as well. And she wanted you to focus on school, but then found an opportunity for you to shadow with that doctor, the oncologist. Yeah. So I was like, it's just funny. I kind of noticed a little pattern where there would kind of be something and she would kind of have a twist. It's not that she stopped you from doing things that you wanted to do, but she just kind of had an idea, and it always kind of worked out so nicely for you.
Yeah, I realize that, though, but hey, that's nice for me, I guess.
Uh-huh. So now, what three power tools can you share that would-be entrepreneurs could benefit from in terms of starting their business off on the right foot?
So I think that was a great segue from what we just talked about of whatever you set your mind to do, you can do it. Just make sure that you do your research and also know what your end goals will be. Because I think most people start businesses simply for the money or start businesses simply because of whatever life changes happen. But think about what your five-year goal is going to be. Think about what impact you want to make. What legacy is this going to be when you leave this earth? And so mindset and, believing that you can achieve is one. Two, I think you could utilize social media. Get to know social media. One, because you never know, you might find a person that may help you to point you in the right direction, such as me, for starting off your business. Or three, just continue to read books. Continue to invest in yourself. I think books are still a great way, even if it's audiobooks, even if it is podcasts, great way to teach yourself on what steps need to be taken to, do things the legal way and do things in a way that it can have longevity with your businesses, because unfortunately so many businesses start and then fail because of that lack of knowledge, of the lack of tools and resources, not just capital, but resources. Like, how resourceful can you be with starting off your business based on your network, based on the amount of investment you made into yourself by investing into people and companies that have been doing it for 10 plus years and can kind of help you beat the shortcuts of trial and error, or, just reading books and podcasts and other social media gems and resources to help you really get started.
Mm-hmm. Now, you touched on social media. So tell our listeners something that they could do, one thing they could do today to improve their engagement with their target customers. What do you think that would be?
Yeah, I think be vulnerable, be open and vulnerable. I think so many people just go right out the bat with saying, hey, I have a new product, buy it. Hey, I have a new book, buy it. Okay, tell us why we should buy it. Tell us what you went through to make it happen. Tell us a story. Be vulnerable, be open. I think that's the next great social media post you can make that will allow people to emotionally connect, emotionally invest in you, even before they even purchase anything. So I think that's the one thing that can be done today. Think about what it was like to get that initial idea and why you wanted to, what your why is, why you want to have this business or start this podcast or launch this book. It's kind of be open and be vulnerable and take people into your story along the way.
Now, I think, speaking of that, I think you're doing a great job of that right this minute. I just saw before we started the show today, your post. Tell us about that, your most recent post.
Okay, say it again.
I said, I noticed just before I signed on to the show, you had an interesting post like that. And I was just saying,
Okay, yes.
About that. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So of course, here we are at the time of this radio show, we are all reflecting on where we once were a year ago. Right. And so a year ago was difficult for many because a lot of them were grieving, not necessarily grieving the loss of a friend or a loved one, but actually grieving the life that they once knew. And so even for me, I was once grieving the life that I once knew. For those who do check out and read my book called Seeing Life Through a Different Lens, you'll see that I've mentioned, a marriage, but it ends, a divorce was not mentioned. So that was actually one of the things that I was grieving this time last year was, one of those loves that just, grew apart. And so that was one of the things that I was mentioning of how to really cope. And even for me, I've mentioned a few tools as well of like, what did I do? How did I make it through? And, I've mentioned tips such as, prayer and actually going to virtual therapy and reconnecting with my childhood best friend. Because sometimes you lose yourself, in relationships that you forget, who you are and what it is that you really want to do. And so just kind of reconnecting with my purpose, my passion, and what I wanted to be on this earth and known for. And so a year ago was a little rough, but I think also just like you mentioned in the show, no matter what comes my way, no matter how many lemons I get given, I will just take my time and make lemonade no matter what it is. So yeah, that was actually the post that I was reflecting on where I was March 11 and 12 of 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. I have been thinking about what a post like that would look like for me as well. I mean, I think March 11th, that was my last speaking engagement. I mean, literally, at a conference, and it was supposed to be a conference with 250 people. And because they were aware that something was going on, we just didn't understand the full scope of what we were dealing with coronavirus. So they capped it. They said, well, we'll cap it at 100. We don't want to have 250 people coming. So in the weeks leading up to it, they were streamlining a little bit. So I think we ended up with 75 people, but that was the last time I was around, really around, many people. And even then they kind of did put a few precautions into place. So, and then that's, of course, that's not the only way my life changed, but, seeing what you had talked about kind of made me think about that as well. Made me reflect on the day and think about how I should share that with people. So I appreciate that.
And actually, since you're asking me, I think, of course, at first it threw me off a little bit. I'm like, wait, what? But yeah, I think that's my goal. Like when I do make posts in that way, like I do want you to ponder for your own life, your own reflection as well. Because I think I remember also now ending that post with, just celebrate your small wins, celebrate the fact that you are alive, you are healthy, that you are still strong, and you can still do whatever you set your mind to do. Because then when the big wins come, when we come back a year later and say we have bigger speaking gigs or, we have new opportunities, we can say, take a breath and accept it because we've celebrated the small wins along the way. So I'm glad you mentioned that too.
Now, why don't you tell us now if you have any news or any special events coming up that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I think I'm always working on something. I'm always, listening to what, clients say. I'm listening to what some of the attendees say. So I'm always working on something. So I definitely would just say just be sure to follow, of course, my marketing agency on focusmediagroup.com or everywhere on social media. And then my personal brand is actually ZakiraNayar.com, my first name, which is Arabic for the hereafter, and my middle name, Nayar, which is Arabic for light. So I utilize both brands right now, and I think I'm working on a journal version for the book. A lot of people who have purchased the book either through me with a signed paperback copy or through Amazon, a lot of times they just come to me and they have said how reflective they have been able to be after reading the book and how more grateful and more open, to just living their life after reading the book. And so I feel like journals are a great way for people to really actually implement what they learn. And so I think that's probably what will be coming next as far as the book goes. And then a summit just ended, but it was so well received that it probably will be an annual thing. But right now it's also until the next Women's History Month. It is that private community for those who do want to launch a book, those who do want to start a podcast, and also get exclusive content for my own podcast. And gratefully, I've been doing about 5 seasons of my podcast, the Sea Life Different podcast, but it's by TV season. So even though I've been doing it for 2 years, I kind of break it up by fall, by winter, you know, the whole bit. So I think just check us out on social media and follow the journey to catch me if you can.
And also, where can they catch your nonfiction book panel?
Yes, so that is going to be in the inclusive community on the SeaLifeDifferent.com. SeaLifeDifferent.com, that is where that will be. That's where the opportunity for other authors to be speakers, as well as even if they aren't authors yet, but they want to be. So that community will help you to literally start, grow, and launch your book. And then once you have launched it, you get the opportunity to be, you know, on a panel. You get exclusive access to be chosen as a speaker. So the goal is to definitely help the minority community as well, especially Black female authors, because I feel like those are the ones that get underlooked, even though they have the most amazing stories to tell. So SeaLifeDifferent.com for more information on that.
Okay. And so I want to make sure that our listeners are keeping up with the different ways to reach out to you. So there's the SeaLifeDifferent.com, that website. And then I guess to learn about maybe how they can work with you would be FocusedMedia.com. And that's Focus with a PH at the front, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and yeah, so I definitely encourage you all to follow Sakira's work. I will be continuing to keep up with you as well. So I wanted to share a little bit about what's going on with the Parenting 411 in our last few minutes. So I have another anthology that I've participated in called I Am a Victor. And it's stories of individuals who victoriously turned their pain into purpose. I have a chapter in that book called I Am Fireproof. And the the launch will take place starting April 13th through the 15th. And so you can follow me on social media at the Parenting 411 at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to hear you know, the details as we continue to move forward, or you can visit my website, carolmaletta.com. Also, Mother's Work, which I mentioned earlier, will be launching in May. And then you can also follow me on YouTube at the Parenting 411, and you can catch my News You Can Use series that runs on Thursday evenings at 8 o'clock. And I will also have replays there of recent power talks that I've done. There was the I Am a Victor Summit, where my topic was Act 2, Reinventing Yourself After Raising Your Kids. Also, the Black CEO Iconic Digital Summit, that was entitled Scaling Up from Marketing Manager to Mother of the Year. And the Unstoppable Women's Summit, which was Showing Up as You Glow Up. And I will be adding my talk from Sakira's See Life Different Virtual Summit, which I really enjoyed. And that the title of that talk was Show Up as You Glow Up, Being Present for Your Kids While Slaying Your Goals. So, again, you can follow on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the Parenting 411. Did you have any closing words, Sakira? Anything you wanted to tell our listeners?
Well, I guess I will say, I don't know if I did say that I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So, yeah, if you just search for Sakira Nayar and keep living your life and showing up and telling your story confidently, because your story needs to be told.
Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to ask, now, are they able, for anyone that missed the Sea Life Difference Summit, are they able to sign up for the replay or purchase that? Because I know that there were, you know, a lot of workbooks, and of course, it goes without saying, all of the talks that were presented. How can anyone access that now?
Yes, it should be accessible now. We've been working hard, me and virtual assistant, been working hard to make sure it is up and running. But yes, if you go to sealifedifferent.com, you also get access to all of the replays. All of the replays, there's a workbook that goes with it. And because there were 20 plus amazing speakers, including Carol and I, everyone talked about their zone of genius, about mindset, about storytelling, about conflict management, about boundaries. So all of that is available at sealifedifferent.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. I definitely wanted to make that clear that they could access that. Because that is, I have to tell you all, that would be very well worth your time. That was time very well spent. I mean, the ladies that Zakira had on were just phenomenal. So please check that out at sealifedifferent.com. And for those parents out there, don't forget to check out Teenage as a Second Language. Look that book up, as well as, I believe you mentioned Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul. I think you might have mentioned that in your book as well. And so those are great books to pick up. I could attest to that too. So thank you very much, and we will catch you all next time. Thank you for tuning in.
Living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains, we gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe, and I know you feel like dying.